My girl Tanari poisoned herself for 40 years to make Fushi stronger when she dies. And she immediately died when she came back. That one hurt a little bit. It was just like 40 years. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies The Shop. I'm your host, Sinji. With me, as always, my co-host, Herbie.
It's me, people.
What's up, Herbie?
You know, the usual. Just out here living life. Life lives me sometimes. But yeah, what's up with you, dog?
Oh, not much, man. You know, just chilling, killing. You know, it is. Our guys here are going to get. Actually, something is up. I just realized that I didn't upload the last episode. So, you know what you guys are going to get? Just for. Because I want us to be live next. I don't want to wait a week. You guys are going to get 2 episodes. There you go. That's my gift to you on a good April, good Easter Sunday.
Maybe good I Friday. Just want us to, get an episode late. It's all about delayed gratification, baby.
Bro, listen, next week is season finale of Solo.
Who cares?
I'm going to talk about that in the beginning, middle, and the end. I'm not. But I will drop both episodes tonight. Anyways, Irby, do you have a flavor this week?
I do. I'm going to go with my boy, Sunraku. He was out here doing the worst stuff. I'm like, bro, what are you doing, my guy? He was trying to fight. Fight with no armor. Like, bro, you ain't put nothing in your stats. You just out here rocking little armor. He did do an upgrade with the little sash towards the end, but his fight with the Mega Boss at the end, that's a nice one.
What anime are we talking about?
Shangri-La Frontier.
Is that the... Oh, no, Shangri-La Frontier. I don't think I've watched that one.
Yeah, I don't think you would.
You think I would?
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it, maybe.
Nah, you would. It's pretty much all it is a guy. He plays virtual reality stuff, and he likes playing the bad games. The games are trashy and glitchy. Then, like, he gets sucked into playing this new game, and so he's like, "Oh man, I gotta try it out," because someone recommended it to him. He was like, "Yeah, let me go ahead and try it out." And so he ends up enjoying it. But yeah. Also, Classroom of the Elite, boy. Woo! Enjoyed that this week, too.
I knew you would. I knew you would, man.
Yeah, because you watched it previously.
I mean, even if I watched it last Saturday, I'd say the same thing. I knew you would.
Yeah, we didn't get to experience at the same time.
We never experience at the same time, Irby.
We do.
You don't know when we both watch these episodes?
I watch it when you watch, because I see you through the peephole.
Nah, stop. All right, you want to hear my flavor?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us your flavor.
My flavor's out of 2-year eternity. And I have one thing to say. Maybe you'll get it, Irby. Maybe you'll get it. 40 years.
Yeah. On 40 the island by himself.
Years. My girl Tanari poisoned herself for 40 years to make Fushi stronger when she dies. And she immediately died when she came back. That one hurt a little bit. It was just like 40 years. I was, damn, bro. Like, it didn't get a tear, but like, I was just like, I was sad. It was just like, she spent 40 years putting every type of poison she could inside her body to build a tolerance to it so that Fushi could be resistant to poison whenever he took her form.
Yeah.
That is dedication.
Yeah, how all her little friends. Yeah, we'll get into that. I'm like, man. Yeah.
All right,
she's a real one.
Should we just talk about To Your Eternity?
Yeah, dog, go ahead.
All right, so, okay. In episode 18, we found out that everyone comes back to the island, and the Knockers are attacking. They're protecting against the Knockers. Well, unfortunately, Opa, I think her name is, she's the first one to get turned into, like, a Knocker and die. Opa gets, I think her name, Iris, the red-haired girl, when she approaches Opa to see if she's okay. And then Big Bro blonde-haired dude is the last one when he tried to, like, help both of them. And so that's how three of our homies died, unfortunately.
I was like, man, they just start killing them off left and right.
Yo, back to back.
It was sad when she was running and then they were like, oh, she's like, yeah, go on without me. And then he tries to stop and they both get killed when she like cut off her arm and everything to like try to support. I'm like, man, yeah, that was sad.
So then it's Tanari and the other kid, and Hayase, I think her name is like aiming at them, and then Fushi is in bear mode, ready to kill her, but like, or threatening her because he doesn't want to kill. They ask him how their friends are, and it's like he couldn't save them. Hayase takes Tanari captive. Tanari says she's going to decide her own fate and jumps into the fire pit that Fushi created, where there was only three Knockers left. And like, cue the scene to the left. The only three Knockers left are their three friends.
Yeah.
Fushi saves both Hayase and Tanari, but ties up Hayase. Everyone on the island kind of just, strangely, even though the criminals acknowledges Tanari as their savior or their island lord or whatever. One second. Sneeze? No, it's always when you anticipate it, it just goes away. excuse me. Thank you. Sorry. So Fushi leaves the island with Hayase, and she admits it like she's in love with him, wants to be inside him, and be an honor if he killed her so that he can take her form, right? And at this point in the story of what I know about Fushi, I didn't think that was possible. I thought Fushi needed a connection with you, like an emotional connection, a liking towards you to become you when you died. So it was like, in my head, he could never become Hayase, right? But my man Fushi left her tied up, created another boat, and drifted away from her and said, never see me again. Figure out how to save yourself. To this point, a freaking Knocker entered her body. I was like, oh boy, she's not going to be gone. So we go to episode 20, Echoes. And Fushi's like, he's like, he wants to see Bionni, or the old lady, I'll call her because I don't know her name, but like, He wants to be with her. He doesn't want to be with her. He's, like, finding reasons to linger, but, like, trying to leave her alone. And she recognizes him, so they stick together. All, unfortunately, she starts getting dementia. Like, her brain starts wearing down on her. So, like, he's dealing... Fushi's trying to deal with that. He's confused. He doesn't know how to deal with it. And, like, she's... her mind's wearing down on her, so he's taking care of her because that's like the only family he has right now. And to my knowledge, what she does next, be She lays down, Fushi goes to get the fish and whatever else he hung up to dry, and she talks to the black thing, even though she can't see him, and says, help me be reborn as someone who can help Fushi. So they make a deal that, like, she'll come back to help Fushi, but, like, she has to understand she won't be herself or something like that. And when Fushi comes back, he breaks down, he buries her. And when he wanted to write it on his piece of paper, he saw a note from her on the back of the paper, which is probably why she was concerned about him throwing it out, that says, "Do what you want to do, Fushi." So that's why a man secluded himself on an island for a number of 40 years.
Yeah.
I think they kept saying... Oh, maybe they did say decades. For some reason in my head, I kept thinking they said centuries, but maybe it was just four decades.
Yeah. Decades, they're pretty much the same.
So...
It's 40 years.
Yeah, so now it's the part I'm really gonna streamroll episodes 1 through 10, even though like there's some important things throughout. So between episodes 1 and 10 of season 2, Fushi meets this prince guy who decides to capture him because he wants to be king. There's a Church of Benedict that has declared Fushi a heretic, a servant of the devil, not a worshiper or not a god.
Yeah.
Throughout the many years, Hayase's descendants kept approaching Fushi, trying to get him to, I guess, impregnate them. Until we get to like episode 2 or episode 3 of season 2, and like the latest descendant is actually a boy who's interested in girls, so he has no interest in Fushi other than his duties of protecting him and helping him. Until Fushi takes on Perona's form, and then he falls absolutely head over heels over her. Fushi and the prince and Hayase's descendant go on a journey to, you know, help people and blah, blah, blah. And they end up getting captured by the Church of Bennett. Prince is in a cage with his chair, who he thought was a man, but it's actually a girl that's in love with him. And a starving boy who lost his mom. Fushi gets captured in iron and was repeating a cycle for weeks of gaining consciousness every so often and like losing it again, gaining and losing, gaining, losing. But eventually he broke that habit and like started regaining consciousness quicker and quicker, and he developed the ability to produce magma, I think it is. Or just like fire that's hot enough to burn, melt iron.
Yeah.
Which is a little confusing to me, because like if you could do that, then like can't you produce fire?
I don't. Well, because magma's just it's like molten rock, like rock heated up enough to be like soupy, if that makes sense.
Okay, so it's not the fire itself, just the very, very hot material he's producing. At this point, we learn, and I'm a little back and forth in the episodes here just because I'm remembering as I'm looking at the captions or the name of the episodes.
Yeah, because you definitely skipped over the whole part of 40 years from an old girl, because that was like the first.
Oh, that was the flavor. That was my flavor, you know.
Yeah,
he met up with Tanari and the doctor. He inquired their forms. Eventually, they died. He was.
You mentioned none of the little girl that has a knocker in her body.
Yeah, she was the first descendant that approached him. Yeah, I mentioned the descendants.
Little knocker. Yeah, but you know, little knocker girl.
I was talking about sleeping with him. She doesn't know what neither of them knew what that meant. but it didn't happen regardless. And we actually learned in the midst of this that Fushi actually can bring people back from the dead. And the prince knows this because he can see the dead. And it's actually Tanari's spirit is the one that actually told
Prince
about Fushi. And I forget who it was, but someone asked to hear Fushi's story. So he was like showing that person everyone he met. And that's actually kind of how he got an updated list on like people who's been dead. I was like, yo, bro, like you didn't know these people were dead. What are you doing?
Yeah.
All right. So to, like,
kind of sad.
It was. It's like, but like I said, this show brings that expectation now. Now you expect people to just straight up die. You don't expect anyone to make it. It was cool that Tanari survived until the next time you saw her, she died. I was like, damn.
He's like, yeah, she's alive. And then he went and changed into her, and then he was like, oh, she's dead.
And she was all cool about it too. Like, she was really cool, and then it was just like, boom, Knocker got her. It's like,
oh. It's like, yeah, I don't have long now. I just want to be useful to Fushi. And I was like, no, you just got back. I expected to go on at least a journey for like an episode or two.
Yeah. Eventually the owl died too. The owl died, so now he could be the owl. It was like, damn, bro. Everybody just dying on Fushi. Poor Fushi.
Life of an immortal.
Life of an immortal, yeah. So, at the conclusion with the Church of Bennett was the prince had to declare Fushi a servant of the devil, but like he also didn't want to betray Fushi, so he said he would never turn Fushi, and his sentence was to be executed. Right before he was executed, Fushi in owl form knocked everyone out with some sleeping drug he recreated that Tanari's had in Tanari's knowledge bank. And he reproduced it, put everyone to sleep, saved the prince in time, created a dummy double to make it appear like he's dead. And they all go back to the castle where, you know, the prince and homegirl loses weight. And we get a little bit of backstory about the chair and how, like, she was going to be... Her father was a servant at the house, and the reason he got fired was because she had a conversation with the prince, and they took it as her seducing him. So she ate a whole bunch of sweets, got fat, and had an interview to be a servant for the queen, but he saw her or perceived him as a him, and hired him on the spot as a chair, and she was happy with that. Little low self-esteem, if you ask me, but
I had definitely thought, I was like, oh, this dude. I was like, oh, nope, it's not a dude.
It's a girl, and it's a pretty one. I don't know how you lost all that weight so quick, but hasn't been that much time.
Yeah, but yeah, she, yeah, I was like, oh, that's nice. He kept the handkerchief all clean for him and everything.
There was a funny moment when, like, the prince and her were like having a moment in the room, and like he freaked out and threw like a tantrum, and like the little boy who lost his mom was like in like a very monotone voice was like, wow, that was just as crazy as the prince.
Yeah.
So then we go on Fushi's training arc, right? Fushi goes on a year or I think it's a year long training arc, and my man,
I thought it was longer than that.
I think it was just a year. I could be wrong about that, but I did just watch it like a couple days ago.
Yeah.
So he finds a girl that's from like the mud people descendant and takes her in, frees her from her captivity and takes her in. And the only way he can communicate with her is by transforming into her brother who died. And that way she can communicate because they speak through the pot, the mud pot. Cleans her up, takes care of her, and he begins training. Because the man in the black hoodie who taught Fushi how to expand his awareness. That's how they defeated the knocker in the mud pit, and he got his thorns back that were taken from him while trying to save the Church of Bennett, but also fight the Church of Bennett. So the man in black was, again, very vague with Fushi and told him he needs to own things, like accept them as his. And with a lot of time, he finally realized that meant that, like, he needs to understand that, like, everything he touches is also him. That he can sense everything, no matter where it is, as long as it's part of him. Because everything that, like, is on him is, like, attached by a membrane. So, my man, he spreads vines throughout the entire ship, and, like, he's training to the point where, like, he knows when someone's on his ship, someone's approaching, he could spread himself, like, 3 kilometers, I think the distance was, and he can even, in his territory, make a double himself and transfer his consciousness between doubles. So, like, if his territory was from point A and point B was 3 miles out, and he created a clone 3 miles out, he can just transfer his consciousness to the clone 3 miles away in point B, and point A's clone might become a dummy, but I don't know. During the scene, he said the original is still up there. So maybe he has to go back to the original. I'm not sure yet.
But I don't think he does. I think he's able to just, you know, make copies of himself and do all the different things. But yeah, because everything's him. So yeah. Is there actually an original?
Not true. Something probably worth noting, which those are probably a lot of things worth noting, but 13 episodes.
Yeah, I told you I want to do 3, but someone had to do like they wanted to do.
The prince did, when he finally saw Fushi again, he did. He did note that, like, Fushi seemed a little less human. And, like, he's not human. He's not. He's a god, and he's not a god. He's a immortal being that can transform. Like, he's trying to master his abilities for the better of the people. Like, he sensed a knocker 2 kilometers away and just instantly killed it. I imagine just shot a sword out a piece of himself, but that is what it is. I'm sure there's a lot worth mentioning, like how the knocker in the descendant of Hayase, the guy, started cooperating with them and writing messages and telling them where the other knockers are going to be and things like that.
Yeah.
How he professed his love to Fushi and Perona's body, and Perona, like, I guess Perona's consciousness jumped in and, like, vomited, and Fushi had to run away.
Yeah, I think that Fushi didn't quite know how to handle that emotion. So he just was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, he does feel all the stuff that, like, that person feels at those times. Mm-hmm. So it's like, my boy Fushi, he's going through it.
And
yeah, he learned all the forms.
Plus they follow him wherever he goes. So, like, maybe, like, them being near him also helps with, like, him feeling what they feel.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I don't know. It's all, what's the word? Like, it's different. Like, I'm like, oh man, that's interesting. Like, boy does have superpowers, but, you know, he's good at what he does.
What's weird about this, right, is that, like, are these beings, right? Because the girl he turned into, there was no possible way for him to have a connection to her. The one he brought back to life.
I think he just had to touch and, like, re-see.
Yeah, and, like, see, right? Stuff. But, like, there was no possible way to have a connection with her, right? And, like, it seems like everyone he can turn into is following him. Even though you don't see them all, like, you see Marsh, you see Perona, you see them, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean that here begs the question, right? Bioman or whatever her name is said she wanted to be reincarnated something that helps Fushi, bees of help to Fushi. Well, like her soul has to enter another body for that. But her spirit is currently walking by Fushi. Now, is her spirit walking by Fushi because anyone Fushi has a connection with becomes trapped in him? Or are the spirits following him because they want to help him so bad that that's what they do? And with I that being
the, want to help him.
With that being the question, since Fushi doesn't know this, could they like never actually rest in peace?
They might not be able to.
Yeah, so that was something I thought about when I was watching.
When do you watch more episodes than you're supposed to?
All right.
Yeah, no, it's okay. At least you're enjoying it. It's a good show. Yeah, I thought worth noting too was the you said how he did it, but yeah, like he can. That was one of the things I was going to tell you. Like he can bring people back to life, but because you had mentioned like he can copy people, but they'd just be empty. And I was like, oh yeah. Later on, he fills the soul up. So, but yeah, the prince is an interesting character. I don't think he actually wants to be prince.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but yeah, Fushi's heretic. Time like advances a long time, centuries, folks. I'm like, yeah.
Damn, man, the pacing, cause just the time skips alone are like crazy. But like, I guess for like his kind of character, you need to do that.
It's really like it's a blink of an eye if you think about it, because he has a whole life. Like he could live a century on an island by himself.
He was saying like how he tried to run away and live as a fish and just got stuck in the water for years.
Yeah, and like he was like a crab and he like lost the consciousness. Like he wasn't really himself. He just was in the water. Yeah. He's a nice character. I do enjoy him. He's learning how to fight, learn how to do some stuff, evolved as a person, learning some new emotions. But yeah, just more people got to die. Every time you turn around, someone's died. Someone you like's dead. Don't even get attached to a character because they're not going to be with him for his journey.
What I don't understand is when he was on that island alone and Knockers attacked, and ultimately stopped attacking, decided to attack other people because attacking Fushi wasn't working, he could make any food he wants, but decided just to eat Knocker meat.
Yeah. Knocker meat's delicious.
I don't know, man. He ain't called it delicious. I can tell you that much. I know the words delicious and Knocker meat never met a sentence that came out of his mouth. But whatever.
You never know. Delicious Knocker meat. I mean, I might try it one time.
So you wildin'. All right, shall we move on?
I wouldn't try it. But yeah, that did just look disgusting. Maybe if it was in another time and area like Japan, might try a few. But yeah, we can move on to Classroom of the Elite, Season 3, Episode 8. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Oh, man. So, yeah, it's an episode it was nice. I loved it. So they said they continue where they left off, where Horikai Yamauchi, he's the bomb in the class, and he's like, I'm not even that bad. There's others down there with me. And he's like, although they are bad, they're not as bad as you, my guy. And I was like, oof, burn. And so my boy tried to call out the wrong guy, Koenji. Koenji, she's like, yeah, well, he's like, Koenji called us all these problems and this, that, and the other. He's like, well, he does cause us problems, but he's always there in the clutch. And he's a far superior talent than you. Like, he has, like, that effortless smarts, if that makes sense. Like, he just does what he does, and he's just, you know, naturally gifted and smart. I'm like, okay. I see you, Koenji.
Real recognized, real granddad.
Yeah. So. And he's like, you can't kick me out. And let's see. Yeah, Suzune was like, yeah, I haven't gotten to the primary reason yet. And she's like, you're the one that's trying to get all the negative votes for Ayana Koji. I was like, ooh, man. Pooh, yeah, my boy, Ayana Koji. Ayana Koji is cool as a cucumber over there, just watching.
It's like, it is what it is.
And he's like, no, it wasn't me. She's like, you know, Kushida, yeah. It was Kushida did this, that, and the other. And Kushida's like, I had a friend in need, and I went to help him. And, like,
she was pissed, all, bro.
She was mad. She was mad because she had to play that card. And I was like, yeah, gotcha, buddy. You're not going anywhere with that. And so she told him that. Like, yeah, I was trying to help a friend. And she's like, seething, boy. She's like, argh, argh. And Suzune's like, you know, just be more careful in the future. I was like, ooh, she's able to kill two birds, one stone with that one. She was able to slice down an enemy, and she was able to keep her at bay, let her know she knows, or put an inkling in the class that Kushina can't be trusted all the time. So we'll see how that development actually goes. Yeah, so
it's getting spicy.
It is. So I do love Koenji's episode. He's a great setup, man. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, the rules is not illegal. And she's like, yeah, right. But Yamauchi has been working with Saken Anagi. I'm like, ooh, yeah, that connection is coming out. And everyone's like, oh, why is he working with her? Like, did she promise him she'd date him? And which I was like, they're like, ew, that's gross, lowly. You know, my man was just, yeah, they were thought about him all sorts of ways. Yeah, so he tries to make his case, and they call him a spy for Class A. And his friends say, they can't vote for him, he's my friend. And Suzune's like, you know, vote with logic instead of emotion. And they're like, oh, yeah. You're right, he is bad in the logic of the class. So that happens. They clear that up. And what's his name? Forget his name. But the class rep stands up. And Yusuke, that was his name. He stands up. He's like, I can't stand for this. And he looks real disgruntled and angry. And like, I feel like he had a whole psychotic episode or like mental break or something, because he was not talking like himself, or he wasn't being himself.
Nah, he did go kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It seemed way out of character.
Yeah, he got ominous real quick. And he's like, I don't like your approach. She's like, we shouldn't turn on our classmates. You know, who are we to pass judgment? And he's like, you're using your power to get him out and this, that, and other. And she's like, get over it. This is what happens. It's like, I may be using it, but I'm making a definitive case. And I was like, yeah, she ain't lying yet. And he's like, I can't accept what you're doing. I'm gonna put your name down for a negative vote. And she's like, fine, go ahead, do it. No skin off my nose. And so the teacher, she interjects that she's like, hey, in the real world, you got to deal with it way with people that aren't living up to standards and performance. And she says, you're mature if you look at it as a punishment. I'm like, she's right. Because anytime you're not up to snuff,
you got to go.
Your boss will go, but hey, pick it up or else you're out. And we find someone here that could do it. So that happened. And some kid is talking to one of Ryuun's lackeys. He's like, hey, man, we can't let him go away with all his personal points. They just disappear. Like, try to get them from him. And so Ryuun is approached by his lackey, and he gives her the points. He's like, here. He's like, I'll miss you. And so he just goes on about his business. And so Ichinose is in front of her class, and the whole class is like, oh, what are we going to do about the points? Like, how are we going to make sure no one gets expelled? She's like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll have the points. And I'm like, yeah, but you got to sell a piece of your soul as of right now. And so she calls up President Nagumo, and she's like, do you actually like me? He's like, yeah, of course I like you. And then we flip to Sakanagi. She has a meeting that says her little side projects have been exposed. And she was going to vote out one of her arch nemesis in her class. It appeared that she was going to vote him out. And he had, like, made peace with it. And I'm like, yeah. Even though you're smart, you just, you know, you got to go. And then she also, I like this line too. She's like, it wouldn't do well for the king to be expelled before the end. And I was like, oh, she talking about my boy. I ain't a Koji.
Would not do well for the king to be expelled.
Yeah, so voting starts. And they did all the stuff of tallying the stuff up. And Yamahushi, she was like, hey, guess what, guys? I can't be expelled because I'm under Class A protection. And he's like, yeah. I'm in here. So he's like, oh, the top. So teacher comes like the top three class people. She's like, Kushida, number three. Yusuke, number two. And it's like, oh, Yusuke does it because that little outburst he had, he's no longer at the top. And people are like, Bongo whispered, he's at the top after all that stuff he just said? And I was like, yeah. And number one, my boy, Anakoji with the first place.
Yo, sick. My man was sick.
Yeah, everyone was like, huh? What? How'd he get the points? Yeah, Anakoji just sitting there like, I don't know what happened. Yeah. So, it, yeah, that happened. And so then Yamauchi has an outburst. She's like, what? This can't be right. You gotta go talk to Class A. I should have all the points for this. And I was like, oh, man. And Koenji's like, oh, well, this is embarrassing. You already been deleted. Your memory's gone. Be gone now. And Yamauchi goes full on WWE and hits my board chair. And Koenji grabbed the chair out there. It was like, he said, yeah, you can try, but I can't guarantee that you walk away. It's like, whoo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was tough.
Koenji being the man this time around.
Yeah, I liked his character this episode. It's the most you ever seen him talk, but he talks with so much like sense and like the poise. I was like, okay. And so then we get the flashback where they fill in the detail, and we find out that Ryuun's friends had asked Ayana Koji for help. As to not have him get expelled. He talks with them. He's like, yeah, you know, it'd be a shame if you let all the points go to waste that he leaves. Like, he plants a little idea when they come up with... They come up with it themselves. Like, he just prodded them in a way. Mm-hmm. And then so, then we get another thing where they exchange the points for Ichinose's class's votes. And so... So then, yeah, because Ryuun wouldn't ask him, how'd you do it? How'd you get me here? And he was like, what do you mean? All your friends did all the leg up work. Yeah, it was Ibushi and Ibuki. I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, look at y'all. Y'all didn't want your boss to go. Good episode. Enjoyed it.
It was a good episode. I even forgot last
Waited
week.
Waited a week for it to look at it.
I even forgot last week when... I was trying to think about it. How did Ayana Koji get first place again?
I think they...
Did they mention it? I feel like maybe Sakanagi, whatever.
No, they traded Ichinose's class
I think voted they, for I think, Ryuin.
They voted for Ryuin. And they exchanged points. I think that's how that worked. But I'm not sure how he got it. I think people thought that Anna Koji was going to get expelled. So they're like, I gotta give him a vote. Because there's no like order which you can, you know, you can give. You just have to put three names down.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which order. And so I think enough people in the class did that. And then he got a few from the other classes. With Ichinose.
Yeah, you could put three down. Maybe Ichinose also.
She put down some of hers.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure another girl put one down for him in the other class. Probably some people he'd helped out like slyly before. And I think he also might have gotten some help from Elder Horikita.
True.
Yeah, because he said, yeah, I need you to do me a favor. And so that could have been something. But it never implicitly said it, so.
I didn't think so. I was like, wait, I can't figure out how he. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited to see what's on the next one.
Me too.
You probably already seen it.
I didn't.
I don't believe you.
It's okay.
Everything you tell me now, I got to take with a grain of salt.
Whoa. It's a little much.
That's what happens.
It's a little
Nope.
That's a little out there.
Nah. It's not out there. It's the swimwear. With no hair.
Like you just don't care. Oh.
Ow, ow.
So shall we talk about Solo episode 11?
Solo leveling. Devling.
Episode 11, A Knight Who Defends an Empty Throne. So this is the episode where he's taking the rank E, the job quest. And already, right from the beginning, one thing that's different about this from the manhwa and novel is, in the manhwa and novel, he intentionally did not do the daily quest so that he can test his capabilities against the centipedes. To see if he's capable of going into the demon castle confidently. And here he just forgot, but.
Yeah, I was like, I'll just do my daily quest when I get back. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I don't recall that happening, but hey, I don't know anything.
So he goes in and, like in the other two, the Mahoune novel, he gets attacked by knights, which the daggers don't work on, so he has to use strength. He gets attacked by assassins, which he needs his perception for. He gets attacked by mages, which he needs his agility for. So, like in the previous two contents, he needs all his abilities to handle this quest, which is probably why it got triggered at level 40, because he needed at least the suitable amount of ability points to handle the quest.
Yeah.
So then we go over to Jinho sitting down with his dad and his brother, and this is also something that's never happened. Jinho doesn't sit down with his father in the other two until he's ready to make an offer for the Guildmaster president, and his brother, who we don't see until family dinner, doesn't really make an appearance, but here he makes an appearance to say, I see you're doing a bunch of C-rank gates. Don't dare get in my way of as far as the guild goes. Just keep doing what you're doing and don't get in my way. And Jinho is looking down because he's intimidated by his brother, even though his brother's not an awakened being, and he is.
Yeah.
Jinho gets to the main throne room, and this goes pretty much like the last. This goes like the manhwa and the novel for the remainder of the fight. The only thing that's different is that in the beginning, Jinnu didn't bother using the dagger because he already knew it would be ineffective against Igris. But in the beginning of the anime, they had themselves a dagger and sword fight. So Jinnu realizes the dagger isn't going to do anything. And even though he doesn't feel like he can really beat this guy without a weapon, he needs to maximize his strength. And once Igris sees Jinnu toss aside the daggers or put away the daggers, Igris puts down his sword, throws his daggers, and tosses his cape. Maybe as a gesture of honor.
Thieves.
For some reason, Hunter Che was examining Jeju Island, which is something that never happened in the manhwa as well. And Igris was beating the fucking brakes off of Jinnu almost this entire episode, just straight mauling poor Jinnu. And like in the novel and the manhwa, when Jinnu was like tossed against a wall and end up sitting on the throne with his head down, Igris used the Dominator's Touch or something like that, Ruler's Authority. Summon
Ruler's Authority.
It gets upgraded to something else, but I forget what it's called. You think after like hearing the story a bunch of times, I would know exactly what everything's called, but nah. Jinnu waits the last second when Igris is about to behead him and then catches it with his hand. So the way he did that was one of the gloves that he picked up has a little buff side effect that says, like, you're impervious to damage to your hand. And when he caught Igris by surprise, he shoved his he grabbed him and ran them, slamming him through pillars and smashing him into a wall. And then he grabbed his dagger and kept doing fatal strike inside the helmet until Igris finally died. Jinnu picks up the items and then immediately he gets notified that the quest is beginning. In the novel, in the manhwa, Jinnu had a problem with this because it told him, now that you acquired the escape stone, the quest is going to begin. And like in both the manhwa and the novel, he was irritated about that. And it's like, what? The stone triggered the quest? If I knew that, I would have rested for a little bit. But in here, he just kind of accepted it. He was like, oh, the quest is actually starting? All right, well, at least it's not a whole bunch of Igrises, and because then I wouldn't last at all. And then we get to, at the very end of the episode, he starts getting overwhelmed by the numbers, and he's ready to, get out of there. But one of the knights just attacks him from behind, and the stone falls on the ground, gets kicked around, and he's being surrounded.
Yeah, didn't they say he couldn't use it during the thing or something?
No, he could use it. He just couldn't put it away.
Yeah.
So he had to hold on to it. And I think in the novel, in the manhwa, he keeps it in his pocket.
Yeah. Makes sense. I was like, huh. Well then. He was getting the brakes beat off him the whole time.
Yo, the entire time.
Just get beat up. I'm like, okay.
It makes you question, right? Because Igris was so much stronger to him at this point. It's like, bro, what's your health at?
I thought he was weaker than him. Because I feel like he was one of the first things he did. And I'm pretty. Who did he? Because there's someone that betrayed him, and he went and was like, now you got to pay for your sins and atone by being my shadow slave.
It was Chol, the guy, the A rank leader in the A rank hunter in the White Tiger's training dungeon that turned into a red gate. And he abandoned all the weak hunters, which ended up being Jinnu too, because he was an E rank. And when he couldn't cleared the dungeon and came back and found them all eating and whatnot, he was ready to kill them all, and Jinnu knocked them out. So he woke up angry and ready to kill Jinnu.
That was the guy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's someone kind of like, yeah, he should already have one of them. But yeah.
Nah, Egress is the first knight rank shadow he gets, and Egress is actually strong. He says it in the novel. I don't remember about the manhwa, but like he says, like if Egress fought with his weapons, he doesn't think he would have won.
I think you said it in both.
He might have said it in both. I just don't remember the other one.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I read the manhwa. Just because I don't really have time to read it.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. It is what it is. But next episode, season finale. And I'm expecting to see new Jinyu. Like, I don't think we're going to, like I told you, like I predicted, you might see them in his shadow. But I don't think we're going to actually see the shadow army in action until next season.
Who knows?
I am almost guaranteeing it. Unless they make something up.
They might. You never know. They might just blast forward through it. Like, you know how they did my boy Fushi. They made Fushi go 40 years.
40 freaking years, dude.
So, yeah.
I don't like his older voice.
It's all the same to me. I mean, he's just a little seasoned, a little bit different.
It's very raspy.
He didn't speak to anyone for a long time. You know, he was by himself. So
true. Yeah.
When you don't speak, your voice goes weak. See what I did there?
Yes. Would you like to talk about Jujutsu, or did you read it?
I couldn't get my Shonen Jump to update to it was but yeah, go ahead, you can talk about it if you remember. Cause like I don't think I had enough room on my thing, and it just kept trying to shut me down. I'm like, you know what, Satan, you on today, Satan. You got it.
Well, it's unfortunate because I don't think I remember enough to talk about it.
Well, that's all right. We just talk about two next week, babe.
That's fine. I did read an article that people were getting tired of the gauntlet against Sukuna.
I saw the same one where they're talking about introducing someone new, they fight, Sukuna beats them. Introduce someone new, they fight, Sukuna beats them again.
It is unfortunate that like that's what you're getting every freaking week. It's just, all right, who is he gonna beat now? It's getting a little repetitive here. Did Goju really wound him? Are you all just that garbage?
I'd say Yuta put a hurting on him.
Yes, he did. When it was Yuta and Yuji fighting at the same time, but that's gone.
Yeah,
they're banking on emotionally broken Megumi.
Oh yeah, Megumi gave up already. I was like, really, Megumi? Your sister's already dead. You ain't gotta let anyone else die with him. You ain't gotta be sucker your whole life.
You got anything else, Herb?
No, that was pretty much it.
Alright, well, that's gonna do it for this week, guys. Thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed. Catch you next time. Peace!
Peace.